Hello and welcome to What's Brewing CISFA? What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. It's time to fill up.
It's time.
That's right. This is our Friday show recorded on a Wednesday because of the holiday on Thursday show.
Yes, it is.
Also known as our Happy Thanksgiving, everybody episode.
Yes. Happy holiday, everybody.
That's right. So what are you drinking this morning? Because I assume you're tending to some cooking, watching over some early food cooking.
Oh, absolutely. So for those of you that are listening in the Yarbrough residence, we actually start preparing for Thanksgiving maybe a couple of days in advance and then actually cook the day before so that we can eat all day on Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. So
that is good prep work there. Yeah. It's like, why do you want to put yourself through the stress of getting up early on Thanksgiving? Well, you guys have it all ready to go, so come Thanksgiving morning, it's like, oh, we're all ready for meal number one of three or four.
Yes.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's awesome. So, because we've been in a situation where, you know, we've been invited over to family members' house for Thanksgiving, and we didn't eat until maybe like 8, 9 o'clock
really?
In the evening. Yes, it was ridiculous.
That's something wrong.
Yeah, that was not a good experience.
I mean, usually in the olden days when I'd go to Thanksgiving at one of my coworkers when I worked at Glendale College, it was like every year was slightly earlier than the next, you know. It was like, we'll eat at 4, then it's 3:30 and 2:30. Most people push it up. Wow, wait till 8. I'm surprised, Dana, you and Miss Victoria just didn't walk out of there.
We almost did.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I don't know what's wrong. Come 6 o'clock, it's like, I don't know what's going on here, but we gotta go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It was intense. It was at my uncle's house.
Okay.
But it's like you said, you know, you run into those issues where you decide to cook the day of, and then you find that maybe you need to buy some more stuff, which is crazy.
Yes. Yeah, that's horrible.
Or you have to do your prep work that same day, so it like pushes the dinner time back.
Well, and I think sometimes people forget that, you know, so you got like a turkey or even a ham or anything big, a roast or whatever, you're probably occupying your oven most of the day. And unless you're one of these modern houses you see in the million-dollar listing type of shows where it's like, oh, that would never be a problem because I've got 2 or 4 ovens built into this gigantic, you know, Italian kitchen cabinetry area of my kitchen, you know. So who cares? But once you got the oven taken up, that's a lot of space.
It really is.
Now it's like you're going to do everything on your cooktop, and you've got maybe, if you're like me, you've got 2 of your 4 burners at work, you know, because your stove is so old. You're lucky if anything works on it. So,
man,
again, unless you've got one of those gigantic Viking type of stovetops where you've got, you know, 6 burners and a fryer and a something else or whatever. Yeah, people forget that you need some space. So things start taking longer and longer. So you're doing the right thing, Dana. It's prep work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's been our tradition for years.
Oh,
again,
good.
Like, that's just how my mom is. Everybody listening, she's like, let's get it done so we could just enjoy the day, eat all day.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, thinking about eating, it makes me think about, you know, normally it would have been last week you know, our office at least, and I'm wondering about other community colleges, would have had their office Thanksgiving party. Maybe not holiday party per se, but, you know, at least a Thanksgiving party. So wondering out there in Zoom land if other offices are doing anything, you know?
Yeah. You know, because we had our, usually for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. our office tradition is to go to a restaurant that serves or has like a Thanksgiving
That's
menu.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so this year we couldn't do that. So we just met up through Zoom and just caught up with everybody. I believe that was last Friday.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was really nice.
Yeah, I think the catch up was good because, again, it's, you know, not everyone gets to see everyone by face because our staff meetings that we do about every other week, not everyone always does their video. And we can't force them to. Although the student workers, you know, we could force them to do anything because they're student workers and we can fire them at will, right? And
no.
We still have that right?
No, you can't do that.
No, I can't? Oh, I'm
just saying. No.
What am I going to hold over their heads then? Goodness.
Nothing.
I don't like this. I don't like this COVID times. Come on. But, you know.
Challenges, huh?
Yeah,
challenges.
Right? But, yeah, when I first started at LA Mission, I was, I started in the fall and it's like, oh, can you ask the vice president that we have a Friday off from the counter because we do a Thanksgiving thing. You know, we go out to eat as a staff. I'm like, okay. And then it was like, oh, and we also do a holiday party, Secret Santa thing too. So we need another day. I'm like, two of them? What's going on here? I mean, I came from a world of if we were lucky, we had one.
Oh, man. But we need that camaraderie. We need that time together, it's just something outside of work. And
oh, sure.
So you mentioned the holiday party. So for those of you listening, our tradition for Christmas is we usually do a gift exchange. We use an online platform that distributes the names of who's going to be who's Secret Santa.
And keeps wish lists.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we can create wish lists. And then you can set the budget too. So I think this year is $25.
Yeah, we finally bumped it up from the $20 nobody ever paid credence to anyways, to $25.
Yes, uh-huh.
Probably but to accommodate you, you know, but.
I was going to say.
Or accommodate me.
They do that $25 limit because some of us, what's a nice way to say it, Dennis?
Put your money into stocks and bonds. No, that's not it.
No.
Moon boots.
Oh, man. Yeah, those wish lists can get out of control. I know mine is for sure out of control.
Yeah, everyone always, I don't know what it is. Every year it's like someone says something like, oh, Dennis, put some more stuff. And there's plenty of stuff out there. Now, I had to reorganize it. I even got an anonymous message this year to please add more. Now, admittedly, I may not have added anything recently. But I did. So I went back out there and I put lots of books.
Okay.
Affordable live CD sets, like two CDs. That's not bad. I mean, I still buy music on CDs. I know people have a hard time understanding that. I mean, I've got some expensive things. I've got, like a nice $4,000 watch on there. But again, the whole idea is I figure I'll keep that list there because you can do more than just use it for the gift exchange. Uh-huh. You know, you could always start a new gift exchange or family and friends or office staff that suddenly hit it rich. You know, if they wanted to know, what would I get my boss as I tell them on the way out the door, I'm never coming back. They have all the gift ideas they need right there.
I see. That's why. So they're, you and I were on the same page here.
Uh-huh.
I feel the same way, Dennis. Like, if you don't ask for it, then how are you going to receive it? So
exactly.
I totally agree with this. So I went ahead and put that new the Tesla truck that's coming out in a couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah, I sure did.
Nice. you might have topped me this year then.
I think I did.
It's going to be close because I think my most expensive thing now is it's a player piano.
Yeah, I saw
from
I saw
Steinway.
It. Mm-hmm.
Steinway makes a player piano, everybody, called the Spirio. Looks like spirit, but with the letter O at the end. And so I think you've got a choice of like baby grand and maybe the next size up. So you can't get a full concert grand in it, but it is a player piano that hooks to an iPad kind of thing.
Yes.
And so you get regular downloads, pop songs, classical, everything in between. And so it plays like a regular Steinway, first of all. That's what they tell you initially, because I've gotten a book on it. I wanted to read about it, you know. But it will play like a regular piano, but then it also is a high-touch, highly sensitive player piano, so it has dynamics. You get actual, instead of like the old days of player pianos where every note was the same loudness, this one has all the intricacies to music.
Well, for $14,000,
No, it's $123,000,
I think. Oh, excuse me, $123,000.
God, if it was $14,000, I'd buy him by a six-pack and then sell them to my friends with big houses.
Oh, man, because I went to the website because I was curious, right? So, Dennis, they don't even show the price on the website. It's one of those situations where you have to, like, request the catalog. Yes.
Even then, I mean, I used to, and for, like, a year after just signing up for the email list, I would get, like, a regular email from whoever at the Steinway Beverly Hills store. You know, if you'd like to come, and this was pre-COVID, of course. If you'd like to come in and check out our pianos, please schedule an appointment. You know, it's, you know, we offer premium service and all, but... Yeah, not quite yet. But yeah, no, it's about $120,000. The only way I found it was using a search engine and literally typing in, you know, Spirio Steinway price and then trying to find one. And it's, I think it was like 120 some. I could be even wrong on that. And then it comes with like lifetime of music updates to your your iPad.
Okay.
So,
but, you there you go. So, Dennis, the best I can do for you is probably get you one of those old school Casio keyboards.
Oh, like, okay. You know,
you know which ones I'm talking about, the little ones?
Yeah,
I get you one of those.
You know, if we did that, then we could create our own music for the show.
Yes.
Because I do want to do some new music for our musical interludes we do. Like in a few minutes, we'll do one. But, you know, otherwise I have to go out on the open market and buy some royalty-free or prepaid royalty type of music. We could make our own then, so...
Okay.
Let's keep that in mind.
I like this idea. And, you know, we're pretty creative people. And, you know, hey, how about we open it up to those that are listening if you got any ideas or
exactly
stuff.
Because, you know, this was one of the first things, you know, I have back and behind my head somewhere, a couple books about podcasting. And so, again, because we want to stay, what's the proper term? Legal. We want to stay legal.
Yeah, obviously. We don't want to get sued. Yeah.
Exactly. And bring down CISFA. I was, you know... I was reading all about music and, you know, how people can use music on podcasts. And you have to remember, and again, me being a semi-musician, I mean, I started as a music major in college, playing trombone, and then moved over to radio, TV, film. But and in all of that, you learn about copyright, publishing rights, and all that stuff. So it's not an easy thing for us to just, say, drop in a Bob Dylan song or even a snippet. And, you know, there's a lot of interpretations out there by people that, oh, I'm just going to use like, you know, 10 seconds of Blowing in the Wind by, you know, Bob Dylan. So it's not the whole song. I don't owe him any money, but it's not true. Artists own their music or the publishers do. Mm-hmm. And so getting rights to that means you have to go through a bit of a process. Now the big shows can do that. You know, the Joe Rogans, Adam Carollas, PBS, NPR, everyone else who's got a big podcast, you know, they may be covered by licensing agreements and stuff like that, so they can go through catalogs of music. Our budget's a little smaller. So as much as, you know, I'd like to roll in my favorite trombone shorty, you know, New Orleans jazz slash rock music into our front and all, it would require us to, like, get his approval, his publishing house, figure out what the rate is, and gets really complicated. So we go go different routes. So yes, Dana, let's see if people want to create music for us for free, and we'll put it in the show.
Why not?
Heck, why not?
I like this idea.
I like that a lot too. You know, I mean, again, otherwise, hopefully over this holiday break, our first of the two holiday breaks in between all the holiday parties you're scheduling for me and the staff, we'll look for some new music to put here in the middle of our show. In fact, guess what, Dana? We're already at that point.
Oh, man.
We're going to roll a little music, everybody, and then we'll be back for our second cup.
welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a fill up. Just yes. Like that.
Should I go check the pot? Make sure it's not burning.
I think you're okay. We got, 15 minutes to go here, everybody, okay. And get you everyone out for their holidays or their half days of work or whatever they're doing. So we got an email. We got another email from somebody.
All right.
Guess what? So David from College of Sequoias writes, and this was an idea I was going to talk to you about. He wanted to shout out and say he's been enjoying the episodes. The conversations are a lot of fun and informational. If you decide to try a live audience, I volunteer to be well-behaved test subject. Hope you enjoy your time off for Thanksgiving. So that's very nice. He's a nice guy. He's been on the board before. What do you think about that, Dana? Maybe sending out the Zoom we use to connect and letting people see the live action that goes on behind the scenes.
You know what? I'm so down. Okay. I like this idea. I don't mind at all. If you know, other people don't mind that, you know, I might be in my PJs. I'm just kidding, Dennis.
That's okay. What am I wearing? A black sweatshirt. I dress up for these things. You know, mainly because this last, I don't know what, 3 or 4 weeks here, it's been a little cooler in the morning. So,
oh, yeah, definitely.
I can't just throw on a polo or even a t-shirt in the morning. Mm-hmm. I got to dress up for the show. I got to put on a sweatshirt.
You know, especially if we're going to have visitors. Yeah, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, what a great motivator, though, right?
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, to step up our game a little bit.
I mean, I think our backgrounds are nice and neat, you know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love it.
Dana gets to see rafters of books that I brought back from the office on education and higher education and financial aid. And I get a peek of Dana on her camera because she does the side view thing to avoid eye contact. No, but she does a side view thing with a little bit of her gigantic screen and on her microphone and her artwork in the back of her house.
Try to make it look cool.
That's right. So, but we could even have some others, you know, join us in the background like we had one of our student workers do like 3 or 4 weeks ago to listen in on the show because we are still trying to convince them before they graduate that we want to have the student perspective.
Absolutely. And it's going to happen. We're going to make this work.
I hope so. Otherwise, again, we may have to just let them go. You know.
No, Dennis, can't let them go. Nope. We need our student workers.
Yeah, but I've got the best line of all. These are tough times, everybody. And during tough times, people sometimes are going to have some struggles. And our struggles is the budget. And that means paying you, our student workers. No, you don't like that?
Nah, not at all.
Okay, I wouldn't do that.
You hear the crickets in the background?
I know, I'd never do that. You know, it does bring up a good point. It's a conversation I see sometimes among the other financial aid directors about hiring students has been tough this year, right?
Oh, no, I believe you. I believe you.
In fact, we have to talk next week on this because we need to figure out how much work study we may turn into SEOG grants.
The positions are on, I speak for our campus. Uh-huh. You know, there are slim pickings, Dennis. So
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so. Most years,
you know, and like you said, it's just the nature of the situation. This academic year, you know, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
And most years, you know, you could transfer. I think it's up to 25% from work study to SEOG. You can transfer up to 10% into the next year. Now, because of COVID stuff, colleges have some extra leeway. So if you don't know that, you should definitely check your COVID resources either through the Federal Student Aid IFAP website or through the NASFA website if you're a member to get caught up on that. Because some schools, I know, even in our district, are talking about moving significant amounts of work study out into SEOG. But we'll talk on that later, Dana, because I do want to get caught up on that. But back to the idea. Yeah, so maybe we'll ask people. And Dave will be number one on the list if you are interested in sitting in on this. Normally, we tape on Tuesday and Friday mornings before things get rolling along. So we're all bright and cheery, and Dana does need 2 cups and a last sip, and so do I, to get through the show and get it started. But we'll invite some people in to sit in on the show, even if they don't want to be quite interviewed. If they'd like to be interviewed, please let us know, too. We've had a variety of CISFA people, including Linda Williams, Tamara, past president Mike, Anna Fay, who is CASFA president. Maybe someday she'll come back to CISFA. We'll have to see. And then Ken Learard from Irvine Valley College. So we have a wide variety of people, but we want to get people from across the state. In fact, I've got my short list of people from the chancellor's office, retirees, and others that we want to bring on.
Absolutely, Dennis.
So we'll definitely get some more people in the door. Well, Dana, I say we cut this little segment a little short. Give us more time for the last part of the show. How's that?
That sounds okay. Awesome.
Let's roll a little music. And just like that, as the music fades out, we are into our last segment. Let's everybody get our last sips on. It's a noisy sip. That's for
sure.
Well,
you know, sometimes, you know, that last sip, you know, it just really hits you. And you
exactly.
Really feel it.
You're ready for it. You're ready.
It's like
for
a James
it.
It's like a James Brown hit, you know.
That's right.
Hit me.
That's right. James Brown.
Yes. I remember, and you know what, since I mentioned him, I'm going to listen to some James Brown after we finish taping this show.
Please
yes,
do.
Get me started on my day.
I've got the super party box 4-CD set of his.
Oh, boy.
And I remember it. I think it's called Rockstar or something, literally.
Okay.
I remember it because I think we had it at the radio station back at Oshkosh when I was the radio station manager and did some DJing there. And, you know, we'd only play, of course, you know, certain cuts from it or whatever because they're popular or whatever. But when I finally found a box, you know, for sale, probably at the local record store around here, for those who have been into the Bay Area or L.A. and been to an Amoeba Music, there's one up in Height, Ashbury area, there's one in Berkeley, and there's one in L.A. The one down in L.A. in Hollywood is moving, so they haven't reopened because of this COVID stuff. They're still in the process of moving. But I found that 4-CD box, and I've played it many a time, and it's interesting that it literally could be the party music for you because, you know, he doesn't spend a whole lot of time playing so slow stuff. It's all that.
Oh, no,
it's all that jumpy, jumping music, you know?
Uh-huh. And
And it's almost like a theme running through the whole thing, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, get on up, all that, you know? Yeah. I feel good, all that stuff.
When you get a chance, and of course, to everybody listening, YouTube, go on YouTube and I guess I want to say you want to type in James Brown. I think it's the Tammy Show. Are you familiar with his performance?
No, not off the top of my head.
Let me see. Yeah, I think it's the Tammy Show.
Okay.
And check out his performance.
Okay.
On that show. It's on that level.
All right. I'm going to give it to you on level. That.
It's classic James Brown, classic with the cape and throwing off the cape. Yes, and then, you know, the hollering and, oh, man, it's
looking slightly sweaty.
Slightly. Yeah. Oh, no, he's drenched.
Yes. I think he hits the stage that way.
He does like 10 splits within a minute of seconds. Like, he's on that level that performance.
Geez, I'm going to roll that into our I Dare You To selections here. Find the video that Dana is talking about, and I'm saying go find that 4-CD box on your music platforms if you have to stream it, or go buy the actual CDs. If you can find a vinyl, even better. But go get some James Brown, everybody.
Yes. So it's and Tammy is spelled T-A-M-I.
Okay.
So it looks like it was filmed back in the early 60s, so like 1964. Okay.
Era. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Well, you know, he was a young going at it rock and roller back in those days, right?
Are you kidding me? The man's on that level.
Yeah. So, Dana, along with that, you have any other I Dare You To's for today?
Yeah, actually I do. You know, since the, you know, it's the, you know, holiday
Holidays,
season or
yes.
things, you know, Thanksgiving holiday. Definitely, especially if you have kids, everybody listening, check out Jingle Jangle. It's on Netflix. It's a cute, yeah, it's a cute little holiday movie. It's a musical. I didn't know that at first going into it, but it was a pleasant surprise. So that's a good thing. Definitely, I would say definitely check that out during the long weekend. And I binge watched The Queen's Gambit. That was amazing as well.
Oh, okay. I've heard of both of those from friends.
Yes, Yeah, so definitely
All
check those
right.
out.
And then when you're ready to settle for bed and you need some semi not so light reading, I'm going to give you two I dare you twos here too. So one of the magazines I pay for to get delivered at home, because this is how I always used to decide it pre-COVID days. You know, I hit the bookstores a lot, you know. The Barnes and Noble kind, the local small ones, a couple different Barnes and Nobles, you know, to fill my addiction. And I love going to the newsstand. Usually I do it at the end, you know, after I've got my half dozen or more books
I know what you mean.
in a basket, because I'm the type that automatically asks for the basket as soon as I'm in the dorm. I'm like, excuse me, do you guys have baskets? Because I'm going to be filling it up. But I'd get to the newsstand, and one of the magazines I buy is National Affairs. I think they're done by the people at the American Enterprise Institute, but it's usually got about a dozen articles. But the good thing is it's got no pictures, so it's a magazine of just words, everybody, so don't be afraid. But it's also like a little book. You know, I'm showing Dana on screen. It's like a little book, basically, and it comes out quarterly. And so on the front will tell you all the articles, and there's almost always one about education. And usually there's one or more, at least one or two, if not three of the four quarterly books that come out from them are about higher education. So stuff about like student loan debt, the higher education cartel. Like this one says, Busting the College Cartel. That's a lead-off article. And then there's one about the crisis in education theory. And then the rest are stuff like foreign policy, the market for neighborhoods, the darker side of social capital, what is identity politics? This is from like about a year ago. But I recommend at least picking it up. And again, the reason I said I now subscribe to it is because it's a little expensive. It's like $9. And after you buy two or three in the year, you should have just subscribed. And so that's where I get to on my magazines. So I'm going to throw that in there. And the other one real quickly, I don't subscribe to yet. Comes from the Hoover Institution over at Stanford University. And it's called the Hoover Digest. And again, it's the same idea on the back. They tell you what they're covering. It's a quarterly little booklet thing. And they almost always have something on education or higher education. So definitely pick this up. And it's about national topics too. You know, again, education, the environment, law and justice, democracy, national security. It's got it all, everybody. So some light reading for your night times there. And then squeezing all the shows that Dana talks about.
Yes, and then don't forget to check out James Brown on the
That's
Tonight
right.
Show.
Get your James Brown on.
Oh yes, I like that. Get your James Brown on.
I like
I
that
feel
too.
good.
I think that's how we're going to end the show today, because that's about all the time we have. But I want to thank Dana for joining me today here on our show, What's Brewing CISO, and thank our audience too for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You'll find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those on Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. You can also find us at wbccisfa.podbean.com. That's wbccisfaaa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word. And you can also find us on Spotify.
You can send us feedback or feed us topics you want to hear on the show. Email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of me, the humble servant of Dana Yarbrough.
This has been episode number 41, recorded the morning of Tuesday, November 24th, 2020.
I think they should have said Wednesday.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Wednesday.
November 25th. So everybody, 25th. Don't listen to Dana. Have a great day, though.
And you guys have a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving week.